Blog Talk Radio.
Time, y'all. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise your voice. And it's time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. And you're on the online happy hour. For those who don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was is spelled with the Z in here. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 646-727-3279. And I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those who have heard this show before, and for those of you who are listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. Tonight, as with each and every night, I'm co-hosted along by the one and only with the Realness 101, Miss Oatmeal Brown, and we're broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, ladies and gentlemen. Each and every Wednesday night, it goes down like bad stock up in here. 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time is the time you need to go ahead and program those Blackberries, program those cell phones, and program your internet to let you know that the show must go on. And I want to say, because of you, the callers, the listeners, the bloggers, the fans, those who follow us on Facebook, those who follow us on Twitter, and those who are watching us on Justin.TV, our show just gets better and better and better each week. And as you're going to find out, tonight will be no different, ladies and gentlemen. And I am thoroughly, thoroughly excited to rock and roll tonight. It's Wednesday, February the 16th, 2011. I hope you enjoyed your Valentine's weekends. I said that part. Now let's move on. It's good to know that we can proceed with the show because we're still in Black History Month and the topics have been rolling. It's just been good. And a couple of weeks ago, if you've been following us, you'll know that I did a show entitled The Top 10 Stereotypes of Black Women, and the men chimed in something outstanding. They said their mind, they spoke their piece, and they gave their opinion. Well, last week, we had to follow back up with that, and Miss Oatmeal directed the choir as the ladies began to sing about the top 10 stereotypes of black men. Now, I'm not going to lie, fellas, it was some things that may have ruffled your feathers and made your skin tight. But sometimes you got to sit back and take it like a man and understand, are they talking about you, or are they talking about someone that looks like you? Things to ponder. But tonight's show, because we had the scales weighted back and forth and it teeter-tottered, we have to get it in and come to a conclusion and bring this thing full circle. Now, I got to say that I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was an outstanding show. And I know that Miss Oatmeal is on the line, and she'll tell you a little bit about what the ladies had to say about the men. Miss Oatmeal, are you there with me?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Welcome once again.
Thank you. Thank you. How's everybody doing this evening?
Doing fantastic here on the happy hour. It's that time of the evening. Some call it hump day. Some say we're on the downcline of the week, and we're heading towards the weekend where we can truly ask, how was your weekend? So, I mean, talk to us a little bit in depth about what the ladies had to say last week.
Well, the ladies, I mean, you know, they didn't hold anything back. You know, I listened in, you know, when the men had to say what they had to say, and, you know, had the women just dying to get in on the lines, and they couldn't. They just had to take and they had to listen. And the same thing occurred last week. The ladies, I mean, just broke it all the way down of their different perspectives on the different stereotypes that we brought forth to the table. And, you know, again, as I say, you know, it was not a man-bashing session. It was just on, you know, the stereotypes that exist now, today, 2011, not the stereotypes of the past, of yesteryear, but what's going on right now, you know, in our culture, in our society with the African-American male. You know, some of the things that we're seeing amongst the brothers, you know, not everybody, but some of the things that exist that they can't be changed. You know, it's not something that if we work together and got back on the standard, you know, the standard way of being men and women and helping one another out and, you know, the trueness and realness in relationships or just in family or just in being brothers and sisters as a whole, I mean, we can truly get it together. You know, we really can. But, hey, the ladies, they went in and they went hard. You know, like you said, it may have ruffled a few feathers, but it shouldn't ruffle your feathers if we're not who you're talking about. But it would make you look at yourself in the mirror and do a self-check. And that's something we should be doing all the time, each and every one of us. We should all be doing self-checks because none of us are perfect. We all have flaws. And all we can do is make sure that we get better and better as people. And it starts with us first. So, yes, we stuck it to the men and making sure that they understand that they lead all day, every day. No excuses.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have no excuses to tell the truth from both the male and the female perspective. And sometimes you had to wait a week. Ladies, you had to wait a couple weeks ago. Fellas, you had to wait last week. But as they say, the floodgates are now open, and we're going to get to it. We're going to recap and talk a little bit about going back and forth. And Ms. Oatmeal, I'd like to introduce a very profound young man. When we talk about the top 10 stereotypes of black men, you know, one of the stereotypes that was most recognized by the men was one that they don't like to work. And that stuck out very strongly with me because there's some men that like to get their hustle on. Men like to get their hustle on. And there's a young man on the line who's going to join us for this segment. For those of you who are listening, the call-in number tonight is 646-727-3279. When you're ready to speak your piece, press option 1. Let us know you're on the line and ready to go. If you just can't get the words together, you can always join us in the chat room. www.blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend was with a Z. And Miss Oatmeal, I got to tell you, this young man that's on the line right now, he's a very gifted brother. You know, he's actually a best-selling author.
Okay.
He's been featured, you know, at colleges and universities as far as SWAC schools such as Jackson State University. He's been at Texas A&M, Oklahoma State, Arkansas State University, and he's been a guest on local Dallas radio shows as K104 and the syndicated shows as far as Ricky Smiley Morning Show as well. So he's written a book that was called, and ladies, you might get a kick out of this, 99 Questions You Must Ask a Man Before Sleeping with Him and definitely before having sex. So if the brother's doing his thing, and he's written books, and he's put the vision down to make it plain, I can say none other than welcome to Mr. Armani Valentino. Armani, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, Andy, I am. Thanks for the wonderful introduction, brother.
Absolutely, man. We're glad to have you. Please say hello to Miss Oatmeal Brown.
How you doing, Miss Oatmeal Brown? You know, I love oatmeal with brown sugar, so.
You do? Hey. Good. Oatmeal Brown.
My mom would always make the best every morning. Every morning. I love oatmeal. Most people don't like oatmeal, but I like oatmeal.
Well, I'm glad you do. We thank you, and we welcome you to tonight's show. Thank you for calling in and joining in with us and enlightening us with your wisdom and your knowledge, and definitely, you know, being a strong role model and example. That is definitely what we need, and we just thank you.
Now, before we get into the ladies, Armani, you've heard the topic.
Sir.
It's one of the top 10 stereotypes of black men. You know, and
yes,
Miss Oatmeal's going to break it down, but what are your thoughts about that? I mean, you've seen it. You probably seen some of the examples. Black men don't like to work. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that, you know, and I'm actually doing a documentary right now on that, featuring, you know, brothers that have gone to college, graduated college, done all the necessary things that we needed to do, and then the challenges that we face out here in society even afterwards, you know. And most people really don't understand, including many other black women. I don't think it's so much the fact that many of the brothers don't want to work, but it's just the fact that, you know, it's hard on black women for sure. And it's, you know, it can be extremely hard, two or three times hard, on a black brother that has graduated college and done the same exact things that she's done. And that can be a real challenge. And I think that it can be made to seem as if that is the case. However, that's all a part of something, since it's Black History Month, I guess I'll go ahead and say it, but that's a part of the whole Willie Lynch syndrome. You know,
right.
We turn the male against the female, and what other way to do that than by employing the female, the black female, and not employing her male counterpart, which would definitely create tension, rivalry, competition within the household. No matter how much love was there, you know, if the woman is making the money primarily, or making more money, there's always going to be some tension there, almost always, especially if they both went to college together, graduated together, got married and did those things, or, you know, anything along those lines, there's going to be some tension there. And that's how the tension and the big issues in relationships, money being one of the main ones, presents itself. And so what happens is many times the male, he tries to seek power in one of the other ways that he knows he's good at, which is sex. And so many times you'll see a brother who don't know what's going on but are just victims to the system. They go and they begin to have sex with multiple women and babies here and babies there. And so it's just a cycle that has to be made known what's going on, and then we have to override our emotions, both the male and females, to be able to come up with solutions to those problems.
Okay.
Well, Armani, I have a question for you. You know,
yes,
because it's been said before when I was on just listening to the men speak on, you know, saying that there are more opportunities out there for African-American females than there are males. Now, you didn't say that
right, exactly.
You just said that, you know, it's three times as hard. And, you know, just coming from my experience and the inner circle that I'm around, it doesn't stand against what you said or what they said. You know, the male have been dominant in the workforce and around me. So, you know,
how old are these men primarily, if you don't mind me asking?
Between the ages of 30 and 40.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And they have gone to college, you know, and they have sought out careers and maybe even got into a specific career, but, you know, they're not, you know, prone to getting laid off or their position being cut. And I hadn't seen them that one time, you know, show their depression or show that, you know, I feel bad because I can't find another job. I mean, they did what they had to do. So if it meant that they had to work at a department store, if during the daytime, if they had to go to UPS or FedEx at night, that's about getting your hustle on. You know, that's about getting your goal.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily talking about those guys in particular.
Right, but that's the issue that, you know, we were talking about when we say men not wanting to work because they're
not willing to do anything.
Yeah, they're holding on to that excuse that there's more opportunities out there for African American females than there are males, when now there's opportunity out there for the both of us. You know, back in the day, we had to work hard. There was no choice but for, you know, the man to be the strength and to work hard, or the family would have nothing, you know, or, you know, mom would have to work hard and, you know, be clean somebody's house, or, you know, have their own janitorial services. Now we're in so many different positions. We have so many opportunities that's an excuse, you know, to say that it's not there for you. But it's there for all of us. We just have to know how to get it, you know, and we expect the men to know how to get out there and get it, not sit in front of the Xbox or, you know, sit on the computer and just shoot off resumes all day. You got to get out there and get it. And so we see we don't have a problem with that.
Well, I
no
think that here's
make.
The thing. Huh?
I said no matter how much you make. You don't. We could be making more, but if you're out there trying, so if that means that you would get your hands dirty, you know, there's no issue with that because you're trying and you're contributing, to the family or to the household or what have
right.
you. But so many are making excuses. They don't know what to do.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the reason why I say this and why it's important that, you know, like I said, I got inspired earlier, well, actually towards the end of last year to do this this documentary on it, is because all the guys I know, you know, we're in the same age group primarily, or a little bit younger and a little bit older. But what I found out is that right now in the workforce, 70% of the workforce is women, okay? And so that means there's a smaller percentage of males in the workforce, period, than there are females, anyway. And so when you look at that and say, okay, if I'm going to have to deal with someone black, all right, who am I going to choose? Am I going to choose a black male, or am I going to choose a black female? And I hate to say this, luckily, the type of upbringing that I had, you know, whether I have a job or not, I'm going to be all right. You know what I mean? And actually, I usually make a whole lot more money not having a job than I do having a job. Okay, but that's because of my upbringing, how I was raised, you know, and my mom and my great-grandfather and my uncles, you know, that's kind of how they did. And I saw them doing those things, and I've been doing it since I was really young. So I have a problem actually going to a job every single day. And for some women, that's a problem because they want to know your whereabouts, what you're doing, how much you're making, so they can
come
for money and their money and, you know, and that whole thing. And so I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but what happens is the goal, and most people don't know this is a lot of this happened many years in design before you and I were ever even born, okay? That way we could become, the black woman would become dependent upon society and not the black male as her, or what will seem to be independent, but more so dependent upon everyone else and look at everyone else in high esteem as opposed to the black male primarily being in high esteem. And even if you look at Barack and Michelle, I mean, I love using that as an example. I mean, this guy was, you know, almost 30 years old, broke as I don't know what, and then four years prior to becoming the president, didn't even have enough money to barely get, you know, to get a credit card, didn't even have what he needed to get to the Democratic convention in 2004, was broke as I don't know what, barely made it there. You know, he had been married. And he was, you know, well into, he was, what, 40-some years old at that time?
Right.
And so when, sober now?
No, you're right. You're right.
Right. And so women fail to realize, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter if the man, it's not a matter of when the man gets it together. If he'll get it together is the question. And most of them, if they love you and they really want to be with you, they'll eventually get it together and that effort will come and that break will come. We live in a society that everyone knows is not for the black male, straight up.
Right.
Everybody knows that, you know. And at the end of the day, black women, if you're going to be with a black man, you just have to know that and understand that. And it is your responsibility, I feel, if you're going to be married to a man and be with him, to help keep his self-esteem up. Because after going through so many things over and over and over again, having so many doors shut in your face year after year after year, you've done everything that they told you to do. You didn't go to jail. You haven't gotten strung out on crack. You hadn't sold drugs. You hadn't done all these things that society says not to do, and you still don't get a break. You still
wow.
don't get an opportunity. You still get passed up for promotion. You're training the guys at your job, and they're new. You know the job, but they get the promotion.
Now,
you know,
when I see you're going, but see, it's what you're saying is it being one-sided, but it goes both ways. Because when we both walk in that office, we both have the same color skin, okay? And we're doing the exact same things. We're getting passed up for promotions as well. The same thing is happening, but we're not complaining about it. And we're not saying, you guys need to uplift us and keep us going. We want that, but it's not always happening. So guess what? We have to find it from within. And so we do, you know, and, you know, from a spiritual basis, we're not of this world. We're just in it. And so if you do what you're supposed to do as a man or a female, God is going to supply for you. Now, that's from a spiritual standpoint, okay?
I don't know,
it depends on what your beliefs are. And, you know, just going back real briefly to talk about, you know, to briefly say something about Obama and Michelle, she saw the hustle in him. There's a difference. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about if we see you trying, I mean truly trying, and nothing's not happening for you, or, hey, you have a goal or aspiration to do something, and we're seeing all the steps. Who wouldn't back their man? And she did, and he did what he said he was going to do because he showed it. There is a lack of that going on in our culture. Not
right.
from everybody, but with some. And what's happening is we're grouping it all together. The females and the males are grouping one another together. So
right,
this
and that's
why
not
we're
fair.
Here. Right, we're trying to break that. You know, we want to be a voice to break those barriers so we can stop grouping one another and, yes, uplift one another. But, you know, we got to recognize that there are issues that both sides need to correct.
Absolutely.
Well, I
totally agree.
I tell
women this, you know, many times when I do the engagement, is that, you know, and this is in my book, and maybe one day I'll do a sermon on this. I'm not a preacher or nothing, but maybe one day I will, because I still haven't heard anyone preach Proverbs 31 the way God reveals it to me, okay? And what most people don't know is that, you know, a woman makes you into a man, all right? And when you look at Proverbs 31, it talks about, you know, who can find a virtuous wife, but there's whole 10 other verses before that. And what it is, it's actually the queen giving her son advice on what type of woman to have with him to help build his kingdom once it was his time, okay? And she gave him all these different pieces of advice that were there. And it was actually King Lemuel was his name. But it was what his mother had taught him. And so we have a disconnect here because what happens, according to what she told him, it was the woman that was going to cause him to have what it was no, in the Bible, in the King James Version, it says, for he will have no lack of gain. Okay, and if she was this type of woman that did this, that did this, that did this, that did that, that did this and did that. And those things made him be out there where he was accepted in the gates and his name was known. So he had some sort of, prestige within society or whatever. And so what happens is I heard you say this a second ago, and I've always been taught this and believed this, especially since, you know, I was in meditation about 4 years ago, and that was revealed to me, this whole, the meaning of Proverbs 31, but that the woman was actually the one doing the leading, okay? However, most women haven't been taught how to really lead a man. You know, they know quite naturally, you know, that you're supposed to submit to him, but he's also supposed to submit to you as well. That's what another, I had a conversation, one of my conversations on Facebook. And so what happens here is that the woman is expecting the man to know how to lead automatically. Not going to happen in today's time because the majority of us did not grow up with a father, period, point blank, in the household. Okay? And so what we're going through is we're going through on-the-job training. Okay? On both sides. But definitely on the side of the black male because there was no father in the house to even have anyone to pattern ourselves after. So when we get into a relationship, we're learning. On the job training. If you've ever had to have on the job training, you know, no training beforehand or anything like that, you know, you make a whole lot of mistakes before you ever start getting things right.
Right.
So
now,
you're right.
Real quickly, what if you had a father there, but your father was a terrible role model? Right. So we still can't put it all on that.
We have multiple issues that we're dealing with.
Right. But that's just
ladies and gentlemen, I want to
we hear that a lot.
Yeah, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to get to the phone lines. I had a couple questions to ask, but I want to definitely get to the line and get our callers involved in the show. For those who don't know, we're just kind of recapping the last 2 weeks, the top 10 stereotypes of black men and women, the collaboration show. So we're touching on some serious issues tonight, and let's kind of go to the phone line and go to Kansas City, Missouri. In fact, we're going to wait on Kansas City. Well, we'll wait on Kansas City. We're going to take it up to Detroit, Michigan, and get Miss Nikki involved in the conversation. Nikki, are you there?
Hey, Andy. How's it going?
Going good, Nikki. How you doing?
I am doing well this evening. How are you guys?
Hey, Miss Nikki. How are you?
Hey, Miss Oatmeal. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. And hello to the other brother on the line. I couldn't recall his name, but hello.
Armani Valentino. How are you doing, Nikki?
Hello, Mr. Valentino. How are you?
Wonderfully well, thank you.
Good. I actually was calling in. I have been listening to you guys. And I actually, all this week, I have been kind of wrestling in my spirit in regards to not just last week's topic, you know, the top 10 stereotypes of, you know, black men, but also the previous week's topic, the stereotypes about black women. And I think what was most disheartening to me is that I felt like we were pitted against each other without knowing the reason why. No other person can tell me how I came to be the woman that I am. So last week, you know, we were, you know, talking about the men and in my spirit and in my mind, I just kept saying that, yeah, I know this is this is what I get, but I don't know where it stems from. So to say this is the stereotype of a black man as a black woman, I kind of felt, for lack of a better term, out of place because I don't know what makes a black man do X, Y, and Z. I can see it from the surface, but at the core of his spirit and who he is as a person and a human being, I have no idea where that comes from. You're not going to know everything about every single man. So I went back, you know, to my mom and went and got some wisdom. You know, I went to my mom, who was married for 30 years before my dad passed away. Every single one of my aunts has been married for at least 20 years. And none of the marriages were perfect, you know, by far. There's been, you know, adultery in some cases. That, you know, anything that could happen in a marriage has happened. And so I asked my aunt, you know, what made you stay? what made you hold him down through everything? And how did, not just what made you stay, but how do you do it? Because nobody is teaching us that. Nobody is teaching us how to stay in it for the long haul. So, you know, my mother simply said, you know, I loved him. And I knew that he loved me, and I knew he was doing the best that he could. And that was it. No more, no less. Same answers from every single one of my aunties. I know he loves me. I know I love him. We may not like each other some days, but I know unconditionally he loves me, and he's doing the best that he can. Now, at the age of 11, when the gas is shut off in Michigan, and Andy, you know I don't talk on the surface. I like to get down in it. When the gas And when the gas is shut off in the wintertime in Michigan, and when you speak, you can see, you know, smoke come from your mouth because it's just that cold in your house. I experienced that growing up. You know, gas turned off, father unemployed. You were talking about a recession. I don't know, baby. I went through the Reaganomics. My mother, though, was the one getting up, going to work, working two jobs. And my father was at home with us, watching him walk across the field to a place to get kerosene because that's what we use to heat our house. Now, this day and age, deuces, I'm out. But I asked my mother, through all of that, no gas, cars being repossessed, lights shut off, running extension cords from upstairs to downstairs because of light, all of that. And she said, because I knew he loved me. Nobody, quite honestly, is teaching us how to hang in there. We just want it when we want it, and we want it right now. So, I mean, that's just the way I feel. And I had to go back on my own experiences and look and check myself on a couple things and say, you know what? At the end of the day, things can come and go. They do. You can ask anybody who's lost a job recently. Things come and go. But what one thing no one will ever, ever deter me on is the fact that you come into this world as a human being wanting to experience unconditional love. And if you don't get it, all kind of things begin to happen to you as a person, and you become unrelatable. And I think that is one of the core things that we are missing. We don't know how to tolerate and relate to each other, period.
Wow. Real talk, ladies and gentlemen. Real talk, ladies and gentlemen. This is how we get down in our conversations, Armani. I just want to let you know that regardless of where
you
are,
this is me every day. This is me every day. I'm with it. I was gonna say I agree with you 100%. We've been desensitized to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our generation has been totally desensitized 100% to love, not to show any feeling.
Yep.
You know, the whole, I mean, all of that. Show no love. Love will get you killed. You know, all this stuff that came from the streets and from the pimps who were actually teaching the black males because nobody else was. You know. This is what we got, or we were getting it from one another who got some advice from one of their uncles or from someone else. And so that's what it was.
Well, before we go to the chat room, before we go to the phone lines, I want to go ahead and address the bloggers that are someone that's in the blog room, in the chat room, and what they're saying is Ms. Finley says she agrees with the generalization, or the generation doesn't know how to stay married. There isn't a desire to stay because someone else might have a better offer. The grass might be greener on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. They're not ready to stay in and stay committed. And I think that goes in one of the top stereotypes that we had that we talked about of black women, is they don't really know what they want from their man. Intense, man.
That's right.
I mean, that's one of the real stereotypes that we have. You know, not that they're loud and obnoxious and it's the angel mama look, but they think that some women just don't know what they really want in a man. You know, when dating happens and relationships start to blossom, so to speak, after two or three dates, you know, some women tend to ask, where is this going? Well, you really don't even know that person's middle name. Hello.
Right.
How can
but
we
you know
where,
Andy?
Don't know where we're starting. Get a foundation and build it first.
But it goes both ways. Okay. You have men that do the same thing because they've never met anyone like you before, you know, and then they're ready to smash on the gas. So that's what I'm saying. It's like it's not
true.
It's not all men and it's not all women. It's both, you know, and that's where, you know, we both have to get back to the standard of things, you know. But then at the same time, you know, no matter if you had a father figure there or if your parents, you know, stayed married, you know, for 38 years. My parents stayed married for 38 years, and I saw everything. Everything that you can think of, you know, occurred. And I'm the last one, but you know, out of the siblings, out of my brothers and sisters. But when it got down to me, I had to pick out the good things, you know, from the family. The good traits from my mother and the good traits from my father. I had to block out the bad stuff because they're still growing and they were still maturing and they're normal people, you know. Everybody's going to have their own particular flaws. But, you know, we tend to hang on to what mama and daddy did or whoever else did and want to bring that into our life. We should only be, you know, looking at the good things. And, you know, they stayed together because, yes, they did love each other, you know, unconditionally, and they knew what love meant. And love didn't mean just one particular thing. You know, love embodies a whole lot of characteristics. And, you know, not just one area, you know, not because this
right.
is, okay, you have the foundation. Yes, this person has a foundation, boom, I could be with them for the rest of, you know, the rest of my life. But they still have flaws. Something may come 5 years down the line, they may change, and you can't stand them. But you still have to know and where to go to find out how to get past and get through these things, you know, but... That's, you know, people aren't basing their relationships on the same path, and they're not going down the same, you know, looking at the same thing. They're making up their own rules. And so when times get rough, they're out. Or that's not what you said. You know, we can change it up. But, you know, again, like I said, on a spiritual standpoint, or, you know, if you're living your life and you're following God's word and you're a believer, you can always, and they're supposed to be too, you can always say, hey, this is where we're supposed to be. We can get back on this track because this is the track we're supposed to be following. But without
I'm
that,
right.
I really can't see how we can be following the same track if we're not on that same path.
I'm sorry, Andy, real quick. Somebody, I think it was Ms. Oatmeal, who said, you know, our wants and our needs. I actually challenge people to ask, instead of somebody asking you, you know, what do you want? I want a whole lot, which could change drastically by next week. We need to start asking each other what we need. What do you need in a relationship? See, because I want a Louis Vuitton bag. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. But I know I just need a regular leather bag to throw my cell phone and my wallet in. Wants and needs are drastically different. And so what I need in a man and what I want in a man are two totally different things. We want what we see, what the media glamorizes as success. But what we need, I need somebody who can put me in check when I need to be checked. I need somebody who's going to love me unconditionally. I need somebody who's going to hold me down. I need somebody who can compliment me and make me feel like even if Halle Berry is in the room, I'm still the baddest chick on the block. That's what I need. See, what I want and what I need, that's what people get confused. It's not that we don't know what we want. We can tell you all day what we want because it changes weekly. Hell, it can change daily. We have to get to the basis of what we actually need, what we need to make a relationship work.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
right.
I want to go back to the phone lines, and I think we need to hear from Kansas City this time. He's been waiting. You know how little kids be sitting in the classroom when they got their hand up and they just twerk that elbow, ooh, pick me, pick me? Well, I got somebody ready for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take it to Kansas City. The call-in number, if you're just now tuning in, is 646-727-3279. And our topic tonight, we're doing the collaboration show of the top 10 stereotypes of black men and women. And we mentioned this to you earlier, talking about we're going to Kansas City. Let's keep the phone lines open and talk to that man, E-Dub. E, what's going on, man?
What's happening? How y'all doing? Can y'all hear me?
E-Dub.
What's happening, y'all? Y'all know y'all done started some shit.
Come on with it, E. Talk
y'all
to us tonight.
Y'all was doing good. What's Mr. Designer Man name? Designer.
It's Armani.
Armani Valentino. What's going on, bro? This man got two designer names for, oh, my God. You making a lot
and
of money.
That's my real name, too. That's the trip-out part about it.
Yeah, and you from New York, ain't you?
No, I'm from Arkansas, believe it or not.
Oh, you stayed there about 3 weeks.
Okay. Nah, I'm just messing with you, bro. I'm just messing with you. Check this out, man. The young, I've been thrown off so many times on this conversation here. I can't go on what was said. I can only go on what was said tonight. And my brother did say a lot, and the sister said a lot. To this last conversation that was just said that I was just thrown off on, I got to go back to the beginning. And I hope y'all can allow me to chime in time after time or whatever. If I got to push a button like, you know, Jeopardy or whatever, however I got to do, just as long as I can talk. I promise I won't interrupt nobody. I just ask if I can speak. The brother was saying, true and all, that the brothers do need encouragement. But at the same time, my brother, the women need encouragement too. Because we are for real our brother's keepers. And they was talking about relationships on here just a second ago, I want to go back to roots. Everybody want to block out the bad thing, but they don't want to look at the good thing. But when you look at the good thing was those people lived on less as possible, but they loved as hard as hell. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And those people, they looked out for each other, and they talked to each other. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about we get selfish time after time. The lady said, it ain't about what I want, it's about what I need. Okay, well, what about the brother just saying, well, how can I help you, like Gates and son? You see what I'm saying? He might not be able to do all that. You see what I'm saying? And you can't necessarily let the cat out the bag and say, well, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, too. You know what I'm saying? Everything is a day-to-day process, and we judge each other on a lot of bullshit that don't even matter.
Amen.
On a lot of bullshit that don't even matter. If you look at Chicken Joy's wife, especially the one they played on TV, she wasn't that beautiful. But she had a heart big as gold, because if any woman could let her man leave for 14 years to better himself, to free himself so he could come back and possibly get them, come on, man. As soon as that nigga left, if the nigga left a year later, that bra was on another nigga. You see what I'm saying? So let's get real about this bullshit. Yeah, we in February, so it's Black History Month. Damn it. Ain't nobody talked about that shit. You see what I'm saying? Let's get real about this bullshit. Let's look about the grandmothers and everybody that's been with 50 or 60 years, the shit that they went through. You know what I'm saying? As a colored man coming through with that fine hair, because you done got the bloodline of the white man, so your hair is curly. Ain't nobody talked about that. Where the Creoles come from? Out of Louisiana. Let's get real about this shit and go back to our roots and find out how they did it, how they stayed together so many years. You see what I'm saying? If we want to know about love, because this shit we call love today ain't love. It's not love. And we are selfish today more than they were back in the day. I don't know, but that's my opinion. Help me out.
Okay.
I agree. This is Oatmeal. I agree that, you know, we do need, that's what I mean by the standard, is going back to the standard of things, you know, not on whatever this is, like you said, they're doing today. You know, I don't know what the foundation is built on, maybe, you know, what they hear in music. You know, the mess that we see on they see on television. I mean, I don't get brainwashed by stuff like that. I always stick to the standard. You know, I don't get caught up in that, you know, stuff that's not real. You know, meaning Oatmeal Realness 101, because that's what I believe in. And until, you know, I'm single, and until things happen the way that I, you know and you know, have made myself wise by, like Nikki said, talking to my parents and the older generation in reading the word, you know, and just based off, you know, my experiences, we will know what's right and what's wrong without, you know, trying to force situations or force fits. You know, we can make it work. I mean, because some people are making it work. It's just the percentage and what's being shown is not all good.
We ain't coping no more.
Right.
We ain't coping.
Yeah, I want to chime in if I can real quick on that. You know, everybody has definitely said a lot, and it's two things I just thought about. I wrote down what everyone was talking about. And what I came up with was actually a few different things. One of them is that we have a lack of culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
Reaganomics and everything that they did to try to destroy black organizations, I believe, really kind of hurt our culture. And so we're trying to find a place to fit in a society that has not accepted us and still has not accepted us, no matter how high up we get, including
right.
even in, you know, the president of the United States. And so we're trying to be accepted at if there's anybody white, but this is what it is. I heard Minister Farrakhan say this a long time ago when I was real young. He said, we're trying to be accepted at the white man's table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to being the person serving the food, we're still trying to sit at his table, and he don't really want us to be there. And so,
and he wants you in the house.
We do get influenced. Huh?
I said he don't even want you in the house.
He don't want you, exactly. And so, you know, it's really done turned up now on the brothers, because we got a brother in the house. And so, you know, television is definitely teaching. I heard someone say that earlier. Television and the media is definitely teaching. Teaching us, but it's teaching us the wrong thing. It's teaching us about relationships, and
right.
it's teaching us how to develop a relationship and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves with one another. I mean, there hasn't been a show like The Cosby Show, a real show about relationships, you know, about a family in a real positive light since The Cosby Show, and that was when we were much younger, you know, and so
yep.
Bill Cosby, he knew what he was doing, but they hadn't let anyone else do that, you know, so my So the other thing is that we're also looking for perfection, and we're not.
It doesn't exist.
But we're looking
it
for
doesn't
perfection.
It doesn't exist.
There's no such thing
as perfection. All you can do is improve. There's no such thing as perfection.
That's it. And the other thing is, one of the things our grandparents, like my great grandparents, they stayed together until they passed away. You know, I was the ring bearer at that 50th year anniversary at 5 years old. And they both, one of them passed in 01, the other one passed in 05. So, you know, they stayed together for a long time. And one thing that I will say is this, is that, you know, we are the sign-seeking generation, according to the Bible, said that we were seeking a sign, but a sign would not be given to us. And so we're walking by sight and not by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation is, whereas the generations before us walk by faith and not by sight. They walk by on the faith of, you know what, it's going to get better. We're going to stick together. We all we got.
Right.
I got your back. You got my back. We here, and we are down. Another man couldn't come and get up in your ear and say, hey, you know, I can do so-and-so, this, that, and the other. And then you get over there, and you see that that was all just a facade, and he was able to penetrate your ear just like the enemy was in the Garden of Eden.
Woo.
You know, and so you got a lot of different things that I hear the sisters saying, and I'm just not blaming on the sisters, so you see y'all notice, but I hear sisters saying, you know, I need a man to go to church, I need this, I need that. But if you are really into the word like you're supposed to be, okay, you can't be shaken by any of this that you see out here. The fact that, okay, the man loses his job, so what? The Bible in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, what does it say? It says, remember that it is the Lord your God that gives you strength. The wealth comes from him.
Come on. Armani, boy, you're to town up in here, man. Somebody hand Armani a nice handkerchief and a cold drink of water, because he's about to go to, we about to give an offering up in here, man. This is hot tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about the top 10 stereotypes. We're going back. I want y'all to know, ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines look like bad traffic on 635 in Dallas, Texas right now. It's nothing but red lights in front of me as I see. And you were talking about the women, Armani. I want to go to the phone lines, if you don't mind, and bring another young lady on the line here from
go
Dallas,
ahead.
Texas.
Go ahead.
Man, we've heard from Detroit. We've heard from Kansas City. You know, Armani, I wanted you. You talked about you live in Arkansas, Arkansas. You know what I'm saying?
No, I live in Dallas.
Lines,
I live in Dallas.
Lady. You in Dallas now, but you're from Arkansas.
I'm in Dallas.
Right?
He asked me where I was from. I was born in Arkansas, but I live in Dallas.
Well, let's keep the phone lines here in Dallas. Ray is on the line, and she has something to say. Ray, you on the line with us right now?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the
Happy
Hour.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Armani, I just want to say I picked up your book in the parking lot of the old, what was that club, North Dallas Tollway. They closed it
Sting.
Down along.
Sting or
not Sting, the other one.
Carson's Live.
No, the other one, the big one, the big overpass one on Friday night.
That
was
Sting.
Who? Somebody just said it.
It was Blackberry.
It had to be.
She got
it had to be. It had to be Sting or Life. One of the two.
Life. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I picked up your book in the parking lot and I read through it, and you know what? I do agree with a lot of things you said, but you know, I have to kind of divert us a little bit from the conversation that we've been having. Oh, it was because the father didn't do this, or it was because I didn't see this, and because I didn't learn that. Let me just give y'all a quick briefing of my story. My story goes like this. I had a mother and a father born together with both of them, raised with them in holy matrimony till about three. He decided he wanted to step out. He stepped out. He decided he wanted to do stupid stuff. He did that. She bust him. He got caught. It was over. It was a rizap. So in addition to that, she moved on with her life. But then he realized, hey, she moving on. I don't like this. I'm going to try and stop this shit because I want her to come back home, but I want my cake to eat it too, cake and eat it too. So I'm about 3-4 years old. These visions are imprinting in my brain. I see a lot of violence. I see a lot of domestic violence, and it carries over until his next marriage. Lady, he actually cheated with her with. My mom was like, no, I ain't having it. Gone about your business, bruh. He went ahead and married the chick he cheated on with. I would go over there for visitation, see the same thing. My dad was there, but he was there for me materialistically. He was there for me on a monetary note. He was not there. His presence was not available. Years passed. He expects that that same thing is going to last, but it does not. So our relationship deteriorates. I go there to say this. As those times of deterioration go on and my dad is not there, my mom got remarried and her husband passed. And when she married this man, he was pretty well off. He was pretty well off to the fact that he asked her to, you know, be a housewife because they wanted to have another kid. I was 10 by then. So she did that. Unfortunately, she was not able to have a kid that far along because she was about 35, 36. About the same age that I am now. I'm not trying to have no more kids, so I hope to not go through none of those pressures. She went through that, and she lost the baby. She lost another baby. But in year three of their marriage, she found out he had cancer. He died within finding out in October. He died in May of 88. It was real quick, real fast. He left her a life insurance policy. She had not worked in over 3 years since they had been married. She had went to college. You know, it was at that time, this was when Reagan economics was really kicking in and Bush the second was coming into the house, or he was already there. Bush the first, he was already there, and it was a whole lot of things going on. So it was really hard for her to find a job. We fell on hard times, and I heard the young lady say earlier, she know what it's like to be in the Northeast and no gas because you see the wind blow out your mouth. But I went in the Northeast. But I can say I know what it's like to be without no lights and no phone because your mom is trying to figure out how to do this. She found a way, a woman, she found a way to work by three different jobs to make those ends meet because the money that he left, the hospital sucked that all up from cancer bills, and we had really nothing left. And so at the end of the day, she had to get out there and bust her butt. She eventually started dating again, and when she started dating again, the guy she was dating, he was making pretty good money when they met. And I was cool. I was like, okay, this is cool. But then I started kind of like, oh, I don't know about this cat. Well, to make a long story short, She was with him since then until now. She eventually married him in 99, but in between that, after that subset of relationship of dating, they married. They had mad issues. He couldn't get hired. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't get this. This one, he would go on a contract. He would work for 6 months. He would be off for 6 months. And as me as a child looking on the outside, I'm pissed off. Because I'm like, my mother deserves so much better than this. She's getting up in age. She doesn't have a, she don't have time. And he's about 5 years younger than her. She don't have time for this bullshit. Why the hell is he not some full-time work? Why the hell is he not taking care of his business? I don't understand those things. I'm not there. But she told me explicitly, when I said, why do you stay in this? What is the problem? She was like, Misty, that is my husband. I said, till death do us part. The last husband I had, death did us part. The first husband I said, the Bible said adultery beyond adultery, and he did that. I follow my word, and she has up to this day. I said, but Mama, come on now. I said, she said, he messed up one time here, and the other two times it's because he's having problems with jobs. Okay, do I leave him on the first time he messed up because of my bad experiences? Or do I leave him when he down his luck and I know he going to come back up and just leave him out and dry? She was like, you got to understand what battles to fight and what war to win. It's simple as that. And I'm like thinking to myself, this war should have been over a long time ago, but that's my new school generation. But guess what? Karma is a mother. Karma is a mother. Because while I'm sitting there preaching to her back in the early 2000s, you shouldn't let him do this, you shouldn't let him do that, you shouldn't do rattling on. Take heed, ladies. The Bible says what you reap, you will sow. And in the world, they say karma is a beast.
Yeah.
You open your mouth about what you will never do, what you can't understand, and what you don't foresee, and the blah, blah, blah. Please know, you don't know what's going to tap on your shoulder. I got
now,
tapped
Ray,
on my shoulder, baby,
Ray,
and it
Ray.
Brought me to my knees. And guess what? Those are things that I can never say never to. But it opened up my eyes to be a little wiser, too, at the same time. Don't mean just fall down and be like, okay, I'm going to succumb to this situation. You need to pray about it, because I'm telling you this, too. In the end of my falling on my knees and get tapped on my shoulder, God, he came to me and showed me, okay, this can be turned around. You just need to follow my word. You need to do what I'm telling you to do. And he'll hit you hard. He'll hit you over the head. As some of my friends say, he'll thump you on your head. He'll thump you on your head. And he'll...
You know, I'm sorry. I know, Ray, you're doing your thing. She had a point. But I had to just... We're about to run out of time. I got to pay some bills in a little bit. Amarna, are you still there?
I'm still here, brother.
Okay, don't leave the line, ladies and gentlemen. One of the top 10 stereotypes of black women is they talk too much, and that may or may not be the case right now. Right, stay on the line, start. We're going to
work
it, sweetheart, but I just had to kind of bring it back home because we're hitting hard subjects. Now, she made a couple of good points. You know, I mean, the relationship is what it is, you know. Sometimes we can be a little judgmental. Sometimes we can be a little negative towards one another. That's not a really strong focal point. Ray, I thank you for calling in, sweetheart. But I just, you know, for the sake of commercial time.
Thank you for buying the book, Ray. I do remember you.
That's what's up. And you know what? I hope she, you know what? She needs to buy my book as well. Second place women who come in first, ladies and gentlemen, had to put that out there. It's not ready for this show right now. But let's kind of bring it back on home as we talk about some of these stereotypes that we're talking about. And one of the stereotypes that a lot of black men say about their black women is that women, now watch this now, I'm about to get a little ruffle on the phone. I'm going to have to step back when I say it. That women are gold diggers, and they tend to look for the dollar and who's got the dollar than who's en route to get the dollar. Armani, talk to me a little bit about that, because I know the ladies are itching and scratching to speak up on this one.
Well, you don't want me to talk about that. You think I went off your phone? You don't want me to say nothing about that. I mean, you want me? If you really want me to be honest with you,
but it's
you know,
real, man. I mean, as real as mayonnaise is to Kraft Miracle Whip, bro. It's almost identical.
I'll go back to the same exact thing. You know, I started that women know, well, look, you know, I'm looking for a woman with some money. Because if 70% of y'all are in the workforce, that means most of y'all got more money than we do. You know, and I'm just going to be straight up. And so, you know, if you look at all of the men that pretty much went up, they weren't like some technological genius or something, they had a woman that put some money behind them to lunch what they had going. You know what I'm saying? Or they had a father who was already had some money, and the father invested in the business, and the daughter was put half on it, kind of like with Sam Walton. That's what he did. That's what a ton of people did. Bob Johnson, you know. So, I mean, if you look at a man, you have to look at a man for potential, and you have to look at a man that has faith, and you have to have faith in him, because, once again, we walk by faith and not by sight, okay? And if you're looking at the fact of, you know, well, I have money, okay, at any time, the same way that money came, that money can go. And women fail to realize that, which is why they keep switching from man to man, because you can never, ever have enough money for a woman, because your needs and your wants, like she said, your wants are going to always outweigh your needs. And the more money you have, the more you're going to want. And so the more a woman wants. If you got $1 million, well, guess what? Eventually, your million going to run out. And she's going to find a man that got 2. And then eventually his 2 going to run out, and you're going to find a man that got 20. Well, eventually his 20 going to run out. You know, it's going to go on and on and on and on and on, and you're not going to be happy. Basically, what has happened is that the women from our generation has become what I like to call bless you with hoes.
Say it again, Armani.
But they're really hoes.
Now, what does that mean?
From our generation, well, what it means is that they're acting virtuous. They go to church. They do all these things that look like they're supposed to be on the outside, right? They're taught the word and everything, but they're really hoes. And what is a hoe? A prostitute is someone who gets paid to have sex. Someone who gets paid, you know, you take them out to dinner or an escort. You know, you take them out to dinner, this, that, and the other, show them a good time. You buy them this, that, and the other. They give you something in return. Okay? And they go to the highest bidder. As opposed to getting with the man that loves them and that they love, and God will work the rest out.
Wow.
It
real
is real love. The Bible says very plain, love conquers all. Not some, but all.
Andy, if I could?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not disagreeing with what you're
saying.
No, no, I'm not offended. No, let's not get it twisted, because I don't fit that category, so I'm good. I'm simply saying why I do know those women exist. I know they exist. That's why the term hoe, slut, strawberry, you know, jump off, that's why all those terms exist. I do know those women are real. However, on the flip side of that, Jamie Foxx has this song out called I Always Fall for Your Type. And so to me,
Hello.
You know, that whole stereotypical thing about, you know, sisters or some black women being after the money, let's not get it twisted. Some black men are after the stereotypical look, the lighter complected sister with the long hair or extensions, whatever we want to call it these days, with the banging body implants, butt implants nowadays. You know, you're looking for that stereotype. So when the sister, the all-natural sister, the holistic sister, the sister that is saved comes along, you either don't know how to relate, or, you know, she ain't your type because she doesn't fit what you're so-called looking for. So the pendulum swings both ways, absolutely. And if a dude is out there paying for it, which is called tricking off, in order to trick off, you got to be a trick. I don't care if you do have it. So at the end of the day, the onus can't just be on us or on you all. The pendulum swings both ways. We both have to take accountability in regards to our actions. I don't care. The biggest hoe in the world can't be a hoe by herself. Somebody paying her.
Right.
And if you got to pay for it, that to me, that's i.e. lack of gain. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we both got to take accountability.
Hold the phone
line.
Hold the call, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go to the phone line because this brother's been waiting all night. And I know he's got something to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the subject tonight is the top 10 stereotypes, the collaboration, black men and women, with our special guest, Mr. Armani Valentino. Armani, now you know we've been to Detroit. We've been to Kansas City. We've been to Dallas. I'm about to go to Hotlanta, Georgia, and talk to Atlanta's very own Aaron Compton. Aaron, are you there?
What's going on, Andy? What's going on, Mr. Brown?
Man, talk to me,
bro.
I know you've been listening. What's going on with you?
Shit, a lot, boy. I'm listening, and I'm like, goodness, y'all are with it tonight. Y'all are with it tonight. Y'all made some very great points. Now we already know what the problem is. The problem is we're a broken people, Andy. I mean, we've been broken all the way from jump. I mean, if you take a look back in history, our names that we currently own now are not even our names. We broke it. Our homes is broken because the men were taken out of the head of the household, so we broke it. We broke it because we were raped and killed and hung. We're broken. We're broken in our churches today. We're broken in society. That is why that white man tell his white daughter, don't mess around with no black men, because they broke him. And he know that because he was a part of the process that actually broke us. So now the thing that they did is they transition now. Since they'll go to jail, actually, if they decide to hang us, now they transition. They put drugs and guns in our square in the community. Why? Because they know we broke it. They put liquor and alcohol and music and that we're a broke. So now it's kind of like a pump. Actually, and now you're trying to put it back together again. And that's what we are trying to do right now. We're trying to put that million pieces of glass that was broken back together. But actually, I really do think in order to put that back together again, we are going to have to establish a communication and actually get one voice. One voice. Just like every generation had a voice. It was Malcolm X. It was Martin Luther King. Actually, who is our voice? Who is our voice to go and talk to the people? We are missing a leader, though we do have Barack Obama. That's great. But he's the president of the United States. He's over everybody. He's not just going to talk about the black agenda. It's going to be up to us to actually correct the problem. How do you correct the problem? You correct the problem by establishing what the problem is, one. And then you work and try to tackle that problem. But that is what everybody's trying to do here. We all talk shit. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody can be. Nobody will be. But it's going to be up to us to get it back together again, and we got to start talking to the kids 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9 years old. They haven't sex, man, at 7 and 9 years old, dude. This has got to change. We've got to change the pace. Because even though that we are a broken people, we can put the glass back together again. Everybody has a piece. Everybody has a piece right now. This is just what everybody's doing. We got a piece, and we try to put it back together again. So let's not talk about what the problem is, because everybody knows what the fuck the problem is. We need to talk about how to fix this problem. How are we going to fix this shit?
Well, you have to have accountability, okay? And
right.
So many people want to point the finger at everybody else.
Right.
And, I mean, you got to look at the man in the mirror, and you have to start with self. But first you have to recognize what your flaws are, and you have to be willing to do that.
Right.
And, you know, you have to be willing to let go of the brokenness. And unfortunately, right. because I'm African American, I can only speak on my culture. We have a problem with that. You know, not
Absolutely.
Everybody, but a large, you know, a large portion of us have a problem with that, period, point blank. It
yeah.
seems like we're never satisfied. And so that is glamorized and that is shown in the media that we're never satisfied, you know, even though we have made some great accomplishments. And we have to recognize those accomplishments and uplift one another on those things instead of helping them glorify the negative stuff, you know. And just with all the media outlets and stuff that we have of today, that's why we're able to see more negativity among our culture, you know, because we do have more outlets. And it seems like the more outlets we have, the more negativity that we see and that we're pushing out versus, you know, okay, saying it's a good thing that we've made these accomplishments. Yes, I'm happy that we have BET instead of saying I can't stand BET. They just put us out there. They make us look bad. It's a bunch of buffoonery. But you'd be mad if we didn't even have BET and we only got 10 minutes on CBS. You know, it's like we can never be satisfied with what we have and try to build off of that, look at the positive, and let the negative go, because there's always going to be negative. We can't get rid of all the negativity. Nobody can. Everybody has, you know, negative issues and problems. But it just seems like we in our culture are never satisfied. We're always placing the blame. We always look at the negative point of views and never look at the good, you know, aspects of things, because there's always good, and that's what we need to start glorifying, and that's what we did back in the day. You know, they sang songs about they couldn't wait to be happy, you know, and when it happened, we stuck together as a people, just like when, you know, President Obama got elected. Oh my God, we were loving one another. I mean, you know, we just loved it. Everything was all gravy. We were so glad that he became the president. Then after that, everybody fell off, you know. They showed it in the media, yes, you know, we came together. We were out there voting, you know, all the kids, the voters' registration. Yes, we had a powerful impact, as we always do. But we're allowing the negative energy to tear us down. You know,
yep.
There's only so many of us can fight, but we need more, you know, and even this show is a great thing. You know, we're taking our time out so we can be the change in the world that we wish to see. I mean, so people have to take
right.
accountability on this.
Definitely. Just to
if I can
that,
chime in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I can chime in on that, I want to say that the what everyone said is so true. I'm definitely a solution-oriented person, and that was part of the reason why after I spoke with Andy, he said, yeah, man, we're definitely going to have you on. I'm conscious of the problem, but I'm focused on the solution. So one of the solutions, the biggest problem that we have is what we're talking about tonight, which is how to develop relationships first and foremost between male and female to be able to produce community, because right now we don't have a sense of community. And the reason why we don't have a sense of community is because if you look at the 51% of the women who are of marrying age that are single, 70% of those are black women. Okay, so that lets you know right there that we have a problem, period, point blank. And so we have to learn how to relate to one another much better. We have to learn how to choose a mate. And in the process of choosing a mate, Napoleon Hill said in his book, Think and Grow Rich, which is one of the best-selling books of all time in the last 100 years or so, he said that one of the 31 causes of failure, of those 31 causes of failure, the most detrimental of those was improper selection of a mate in marriage, okay, or not even having selected one in the law of success. In his book called The Law of Success, you have to have someone that you can be with, you can marry, and you all can have a camaraderie one with another to be able to produce an economic foundation within the community in which you live in. And so that's where the brokenness is, first and foremost. Many of the brothers are not getting married. Many of the sisters
right now are not getting married. Everybody's walking around single and just having sex with each other.
For the record, I would like to be married, cool. Just to put that out there. I do want to be married. Miss Oatmeal, you want to be married?
Oh, both. Definitely, I would like to be married.
Okay, so that's two out of a couple million,
woman.
Just to put it out there.
Yeah, every black woman I've ever met wants to be married. I haven't met one black woman, period, really and truly, that like men, that did not want to be married. So I was not saying that at all.
No, I'm just
saying. I figured y'all wouldn't be married. I understand,
Armani. Nikki is cool, man. She's the truth up there in Detroit.
Y'all sound like women that want to be married. Trust me. So,
want to be ready.
Want to be
but
ready.
But not just anybody though. We have those opportunities, you know. But want to be married and married for the rest of our lives, you know, to the right person that God has for us.
So When you ask women, what is the right person? Most of the time, that's always a very interesting question that can go on for hours and hours and then sometimes. But most people, what I found, I have not defined what the right person is for them. And it goes back to what Nikki was talking about, needs and wants. They have not defined what type of person that they need in order to get what they want out of life and to achieve their dreams, desires, and goals and aspirations that they have. Now, on the flip side of that is this. Is that even if they have not decided what they can give. When you talk to a woman, most of the time, if you ask them what they can give to a relationship, very few of them can give you enough answers that will make you say, you know what, I want to marry this woman.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't you, that's cool. But I just want to put that out there.
Now, Nikki, real quick, we got to get to the phone lines real quick.
No, I was just saying, a whole accountability piece, just an assignment for the sisters. Break up the sister circle, stop slapping each other, high five when you know one of your girls is wrong, and reinforcing her in her wrongness. I know that's not even a word, but we oftentimes do that. We get together, somebody's pissed off, you know, girl, he did this, that, and that, I ain't going to put up with this, and then we're reinforcing what we actually should be condemning. So don't, if you have a friend and she's on some BS, don't be afraid to call your friend on her BS, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're her friend. Same thing goes for the brothers.
Right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Real talk.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show, the top 10 stereotypes of black men and women. It's the collaboration show. We're going back over the past 2 weeks because we are in Black History Month, as E-Dub wanted us to mention. So let's go to the phone lines before we are almost out of time. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I want to stay right here in Dallas, man. We're almost about to bring it on home, so let's go ahead and stay home and bring in Miss Monica. Monica, you're on the line with us right now. Talk to us.
I am, actually, and that's Dallas as well as California, because, you know, I go back and forth. I just wanted to say, and I don't know if it'll be closing, but we really need to just stop. Identify who you are, identify the characteristics of who you are, and look for that. I mean, you know, I love me some me, and I love us some us, you know, but the bottom line is this. I know how I am. When I look across the table, I want to see somebody who looks like me. And I don't mean necessarily physically. I mean characteristically. If I ask somebody to find five characteristics of what you would, of how you define yourself, if you love yourself, five characteristics. Do you know some people can't come up with five?
Mm.
That's because you haven't taken time to say, you know what? I am intelligent. I am ambitious. I am cultural. I am sensual. I am very spiritual. Now, if a brother or a sister comes up to you and they don't have those characteristics that you yourself possess, move around. Keep going. It just doesn't make sense to align yourself in any type of relationship. Napoleon Hill did say marriage, but marriage could also be a friendship, a toxic friendship. It could also be a toxic business relationship, a toxic whatever type of relationship. It's a marriage because the two of you are coming together to do something regardless of what it is. If it doesn't work, move along. We don't have a lot of time to be in the fix-it business. We are all about making it happen. That does not mean that we can't go back and reach back, but you know what? Adults sometimes are hard-headed. What we need to do is stop taking two children, one dark and one light, and the light-skinned girl gets her hair combed, and the little dark one with the shorter hair gets her hair fixed. What are you telling her? That she's broken. We need to stop. We need to stop giving the young man who's out on the football field a lot of attention, but the one who's good in math, ignoring him and saying he's a nerd.
Right.
Let's start with the seeds that we are creating, you know, and keep it moving. Life's too short.
Amen.
Find who you are and go for it. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Monica.
Amen.
I appreciate you calling in. You know, for that little girl that has the bad hair, we definitely recommend her getting some hair care products in the Just For Me. Maybe even switching up to the Jerry Curl, for, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But I want to go back to E Dub real quick, man, before we get it, go ahead and get it wrapped up. E, talk to me real quick, man. What's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah, real quick, man. Bring your point up, man. We almost got to leave the show in a minute.
All right. I'm going to just get to the final score of the game or whatever. When the brother said what we can do to change it, only way we can change it is to start at the go back to the community and start out.
Right.
Entering these young kids and start from there. And as they grow older, hopefully by changing one, we'll change some, and we can move on from there. We have to change ourselves and then go there, and then we hopefully things will get better.
That's real talk. That's real talk. E, man, I always appreciate you chiming in. This man has the best and baddest construction company in Kansas City, Missouri. So if you're in the need of Kansas City, you need to get yourself taken care of. Check out E-Dub Construction, ladies and gentlemen. Just wanted to put that out there for you. Also, Armani, you've been the special guest tonight on the show. I hope you've enjoyed
the
broadcast that we're doing tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I did. I very much so enjoyed it, and not only that. But I wanted to say this. I really appreciate everyone for doing this, because in having this, like the sister said, Sister Oatmeal, this has helped to basically create some change in the atmosphere, because our longing and our desire for something different and something better will help to create that into the world that's to come. And as far as doing something with the youth, I totally agree with the brother E-Dub, which is why I want you to purchase, since you have the baddest construction company in Kansas City, purchase as many copies of my book as you can from my website, because the youth, every time I go somewhere to speak, even if it's on the streets to two or three of them, they are happy that someone is talking to them about sex and relationships, and then have something there that they can take with them to help them figure out what it is that they want for themselves on a spiritual, mental, emotional, health, relationship, financial, 10 main areas in relationships that they can basically figure out how to choose someone that's a good mate for them, so they won't waste all of their young life searching around and having sex with multiple partners and just all different types of things that basically lead to destruction in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And that goes to everyone out there. That's something that I was doing. I wrote the book at 26, and it's been extremely helpful to myself as well as everyone that I've known that has used it, but definitely young people in general. I know that's a lot said, but hopefully y'all got that. And I'm just glad that y'all brought me on to the show, and hopefully I didn't offend nobody too bad.
Hey, man, you can't offend anybody with real talk, man. I mean, real talk is what we do here.
Okay.
I mean, Ms. Oatmeal comes with the Realness 101. This is the online happy hour. You know how we get down with the realness. Ms. Oatmeal, talk to us a little bit about what do they need to learn and take from this show tonight?
Well, you know, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit when I spoke. I got excited, you know, when I last had some words to enlighten everybody with. And, you know, again, you know, taking accountability, wanting to change for the better for yourself, you know, because that will in turn reflect on someone else. You know, some of us have a lot of people watching us. You have no idea. You know, kids and even people that are our own age, you know, and when you shine of trying to do the right things, like we'll never be perfect. Nobody will ever be perfect. But just trying to shine to do the right things as much as you can,
you know, giving back to the community, meaning if you have to take your Saturday mornings and be a part of some type of mentor program, in which I am myself a part of Bridging the Gap mentor program, you can Google that, look it up. You can Google Oatmeal Brown on Facebook, and I will accept you as a friend and can get you involved in these things with, you know, going to these kids and, you know, having real conversation with them. They don't want us to talk to them like their teachers are talking to them. They get that every day. You know, they need some real talk, real talk.
Right.
Like, you know, what did you go through? They want to know. You have to come to them kids like that because they look at us and they don't see what we've been through or they don't see that other side. You know, we have to be able to tap in and to relate because we're the ones that have to teach them. If we don't, then they're going to be lost. And then what are they going to teach the generation that comes after them? You know, we're going to be in trouble. And we look at them now and we have complaints. It's hard for us to deal with them, just like the generations, you know, that are older than us. They probably looked at us and said, ooh, wow, they're doing a lot. But they still stepped in and, you know, volunteered their time, you know, or the whole, you know, it took a village to raise a child, you know. So those are things that we really need to put in place in our lives in some form or fashion. You know, again, just take accountability, you know, start spreading positive, seeing the good things and not emphasizing on the bad things that, you know, we see in the media and what goes on around us in our community. Just really trying to make a difference in being that change that we wish to see. And it definitely will have an impact. I don't care if you just help two people. At least you've done something, you know, to help better, you know, and help bring back our culture, you know, to the standard because that's what we need. And we need to, you know, push, you know, make a big push and make a powerful impact, not just because it's Black History Month, but just period. We need to do this so we can, you know, make our ancestors proud who, you know, fought for all these things and all these opportunities for us to have. And, you know, we're basically, not all of us, but some people out there are just, they're not remembering those things or they're being lazy or, you know, not even caring how far we've come with sticking together and that we can, you know, push further. Because, again, people, not to say that African Americans is just the best culture and it's the best, I mean, you know, to if you're Black, then you're better than everybody else. I'm not saying that. But we are a talented people. Our culture is full of talent, full of it. And we don't have to go over there to get approval, like Mr. Valentino said. You know, we don't have to go there to get approval. I was out of town this weekend, and I was around someone that was non-African-American. And, you know, I was watching her, and she sang every song and rapped every word to this hip-hop, the hip-hop songs that were coming on. When I saw her, she didn't look like she would know that, but she did. She was a school teacher. She did. But that just showed me that, you know, we're not in such of a negative impact or influence as we think we are as a people. That is, we're holding ourselves back. We need to take accountability and push forward.
I agree with everything that's been said. This has been a great show. We've had a great time. I know we've got a lot of great things going on. I want to thank Mr. Armani Valentino. If you need to follow more about Armani, just go to the page on Facebook.com and follow. Click on the link. You'll follow him. I want to say it's been a great show. Miss Oatmeal has been tearing it up. Miss Nikki in Detroit. I want to say thank you to Aaron, to Ray, to E-Dub, and also to Miss Monica as well. This has been a great one. As we wrap up the show, I want to thank the panel for their insight. I want to thank those fantastic folks who called in and been blogging and expressing their thoughts, both on the blog talk and on howwasyourweekend.com. Follow us on Facebook. Go to How Was Your Weekend, and you'll be able to see us there and leave your comments there as well. As always, you make the show what it is. And if you had a good time tonight and you got some good information out of this show, just do me a favor. Tell three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another hot topic here in Black History Month. My panel will let you know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. This has been great. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown. I want to say good night to my family, go mob to my frat, and we gone. Have a good night, and thank you. We'll see you with Brooklyn's Fast Cafe this weekend coming up. We're going to talk about the relevance of the HBCU from 7 o'clock. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. Thank you. Have a good night, and we gone.